Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we talk about what re-signing Wayne Ellington means for the rest of the Heat's roster.
Then we'll talk about Hassan Whiteside working out at Dwayne Wade's gym, and if we expect Wade to return next season. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for Fansided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Rommel, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and Fansided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRommel13.
First of all, I just want to say it's good to be back, David. I was on vacation all last week, but hopefully our listeners caught your solo mailbag that you did. It was a good one covering a lot of things about Isaiah Thomas, who had not yet signed at the time of your recording with the Nuggets, and a bunch of other things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was hard, but I'm glad you're back. At first I thought maybe this had the potential to be the best mailbag ever, but then I listened to it again and I realized, no. You're a vital component of this two-man team, Wes. We can't suffer that absence any longer.
Well, I read the questions and then you just answer them. It's hard to do both things. Well, no mailbag this week yet. We have some mailbag questions trickling in that we'll get to later on this week. But we're starting to enter the dead season for the NBA. And we have a lot to catch up on, including Hassan Whiteside starting to work out at Dwayne Wade's gym. Summer League takeaways from what the Heat were able to do in Sacramento and Las Vegas. And the latest about Wade and Udonis Haslam's potential return next season. But let's start with the news that the Heat have re-signed Wayne Ellington to a one-year, $6.27 million deal. The deal puts the Heat about $4 million over the luxury tax, and they'll have to pay it unless they're able to cut costs before the last day of the regular season. And in reality, you assume that if they can't get under the tax by the trade deadline in February, they'll probably end up paying that. David, we knew the Heat wanted Ellington back, but we just weren't sure if they dip into the tax to do so. What does this say to you about how the Heat are approaching this season?
That's tough to answer. I think the answer, and it's probably one that a lot of our listeners won't want to hear, is that Miami seems very content to stay pat, something that they did last summer, something that they're going to be doing again this summer. And I think they're active. They're trying to do whatever they can to shake up the roster, at least by moving one of the larger contracts on that roster, Whiteside, Tyler Johnson, etc. But unfortunately, I just don't think there are a lot of takers. So bringing back Ellington is kind of just a way of making good for a guy who was able to turn his career around, rebuild himself as part of this Heat team, and just a way of showing faith and saying, by 1 year, we're trying to pay you. Hopefully, we can free up some more space next year and we can bring you back as a vital component of this team in another year or so.
In the other part of this is that Miami's backcourt remains just loaded. And loaded in the sense that they just have a lot of guys who have to play. Mm-hmm. But there's really not a superstar among that group. Obviously, Goran Dragic was an all-star last year. He's your starting point guard. Then you got Deion Waiters coming back. You've got Tyler Johnson, whose contract is the first year of his ballooning contract at $19 million. You've got Rodney Magruder on the roster still. Josh Richardson, you want to try to play him at the two every once in a while. That just doesn't seem likely. He's probably going to remain an undersized small forward at this point. Then you have Wayne Ellington, and that's not even counting Dwayne Wade, who may or may not be back. They've got to figure out a way to play a lot of these guys, and what ends up happening, what ended up happening last season at least, was that Spoelstra just played a lot of three-guard units, which I think is going to be the approach here with, you know, Wayne Ellington sort of playing that three spot, so to speak, as a third guard. And then that's not even, you know, that doesn't even include a guy like Derek Jones Jr., who we'll talk about later on, who may be in line to play some minutes this season. So, you know, I think you're right. They want to stay pat. They're trying to stand pat, but I also think that they're looking to see what this group is when everybody's healthy. I mean, Waiters and Magruder weren't healthy for most of last season.
Yeah.
They weren't really a factor in this. If Wade comes back, he was really only on the team after the trade deadline. He wasn't a part of the team for most of the season. So you really kind of want to, I guess what they're looking for here is, let's just get a bunch of guards and see, like, what sticks, I guess. Like, who really, like, who rises to the top here? Well, it's the only real explanation, but it's Ellington on a one-year deal. It just seems it just seems weird to me, honestly. Like, why bring him back on a one-year deal when you've got all these other guys that you got to get a look at? And it's not like you're getting Ellington long-term.
See,
you know?
I like the deal because I think it lays the groundwork down for a future deal where you can sign into a long-term deal. I think that's the reasoning behind it. I think one of the things that I'd heard and you and I had talked about before the signing even took place and why it took as long as it did, and one of the questions that I answered in last week's mailbag was, you know, he wanted to come back to Miami. There were probably other more lucrative deals out there. We haven't heard any reported, but I'm sure that'll come up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But he and his agent probably made it known that he wanted to re-sign in Miami, that Miami was probably looking to make a move by trading away either Tyler or Hassan or somebody else. And as far as Ellington trying to come back, he just wanted to be part of this team. I think he appreciates the fact that they took a chance on a journeyman player and were able to turn his career around. And I think that speaks a lot about his character and the team and a sense of family that they've tried to create there for many, many years, obviously. So I think it's a good move for them. And as far as the glut in the backcourt, there are problems. And I agree with you 100% in that, you know, they're a little undersized. A lot of them kind of are specialists and that they don't do anything. Well, maybe some of them do. Like Ellington's a good shooter, obviously, and you know, they're versatile, but they're also kind of undersized and not particularly great defensively.
To that point, though, I think that I don't want to come off as being like anti-glut because I've never been anti-glut, and I think that's a big Heat Twitter thing where we've got too many players that need to play, and I think that's a good problem to have. And Spoelstra's talked about that in the past about like you want guys who deserve and want to be on the floor, and if they can't, you also want them to accept their role, and that's why you have Spoelstra messing with his rotations game to game, and why he's very rarely has settled on a regular rotation, at least since the Big Three era.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I think the bigger picture here is that Miami is, like you said, wants to see what kind of improvement that they can make internally with the same group, a group that they bet on last season and really 2 seasons ago when they signed all these guys to the one-year deals. But they laid their cards down, or I guess they put their chips on the table. I'm messing up the card metaphor. But
are they putting it all in the same basket?
All in the basket. There you go. Last year, and they want to, and I guess, you know, they'll want to see how this plays out when everybody is healthy and things like that. And the offense will be, or the team will be undersized, but the offense will benefit from that with more spacing and more shooting when you really don't have a stud offensive player on the roster. That could be important. And defensively, yes, they're undersized, but the defense, I think their defense isn't going to come from a Philadelphia 76ers style where they're just going to be bigger, faster, and stronger than you. Miami's defense is going to thrive by just being smart. It's a veteran team. They're going to work really hard on every possession, just like we know that they're going to do, and that's going to be how the defense stays up to par, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that. What I was trying to say earlier, you know, is that I think there's a good combination of versatile players and specialists, too. Like Magruder, obviously a defensive player, but even he's expanding his offensive range. I think a guy like Ellington obviously spaces the floor really, really well, even though he struggled in the playoffs. And you get guys like Goran, who's a very versatile scorer, and Dion, who can attack the basket and create plays for others. And he's a very good defender. So as much as they might seem undersized, and sure, Waiters is probably 6'3 in shoes, I think that's a great – he's still a great defender. I think that's a great combination of players to have that can do a lot. And look, Tyler gets a lot of grief, and perhaps deservedly so, for that contract. Well, maybe not deservedly so. I think, you know, he should get whatever he gets paid. It was Miami who gave him that offer or decided to match Brooklyn's offer. Tyler can do a lot of things well. I mean, he can shoot from the range. He can drive to the rim. He's a sturdy, earnest defender. He tries his hardest. He's, you know, a little undersized, but he tries his best, and I think that's something to speak. I mean, I think that's something to look forward to, seeing all these guys go out there.
And if he goes back to a six-man role, that's going to help him a lot,
right? That's absolutely true, yeah.
And between him and Whiteside maybe getting healthy next year, you hope that both he and Whiteside start to show a little bit more of their value. And if you're Miami, they have reportedly been trying to trade both of them, and they've been unable to do so, but trading one of them would be huge and getting under that luxury tax. I do still think that being $4 million over the tax, they're not going to want to be at that point by the end of the season. They have until the end of the regular season to get under the tax and therefore avoid paying the luxury tax. I think that's what they're going to aim to do. And you think that maybe Tyler Johnson going back to a six-man role or Whiteside just getting healthy and improving, maybe they become more valuable as a trade asset, especially as contending teams may look to bolster their backcourt or find an answer at center.
Right.
Injuries might happen and they might have value in that way. Or they could go in another direction and trade some of their more average contracts. Maybe it's a James Johnson or a Kelly Olynyk or something like
that. Quick question about that luxury tax. Isn't there a deadline by which they have to be under that supposed mark?
The end of the regular season.
Okay.
It's the last day of the regular season.
So as long as they make a move, say, at the trade deadline, they won't have to pay the luxury tax.
That's it. Okay. I think that's what they're going to go with. But then the other part of this, like, they used early bird rights to sign Ellington. So they still have the mid-level exception, and they figured to maybe use that on Dwayne Wade if he comes back or somebody else. There was talk about Carmelo Anthony possibly being signed with that. So that's still in play here in Miami.
I just realized you and I haven't talked since the Carmelo news broke, and that's a lot to break down there. I mean, obviously nothing's progressed since we heard the first rumblings from ESPN that Carmelo was looking at either Miami or Houston if he becomes a potential free agent. But, I mean, that's a lot to break down.
It is. Maybe we should break that down. Let's do that in the next segment.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, Dwayne Wade reinvented his career by working out at the Miami gym, DBC, and now Hassan Whiteside has began training at the same gym. We'll talk about if he can revitalize his career, and maybe if the Heat can revitalize Carmelo's career after this quick break. With Summer League over, we'll talk about some players who stood out for the Heat later on, but let's turn to Hassan Whiteside, who recently started training at the same facility that helped Dwayne Wade get healthy after several knee procedures and extend his career. Now Whiteside dealt with a bunch of injuries last season, and joining Wade's gym is a sign that he could be trying to reform his body. I think this is great news, and it really shouldn't be understated. This could be huge for Whiteside if he buys in. You look at guys who have trained there at DBC, from LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Victor Oladipo last summer, and of course that ended up in a most improved player season, and it's been important in their careers. For the first time in a long time, David, I'm optimistic about Whiteside, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
I am not quite there yet. I like the approach, though, and I understand why you're optimistic, because you've personally spoken to the head of DBC training. You were able
David
to speak
Alexander,
to him.
Yep.
You were able to speak to him about Victor Oladipo, and I one of the nuances in that interview you did with him was that they found out that Oladipo wasn't as explosive because of lacking power in his hips. I mean, that was such a specific physiological nuance that they were able to analyze, break down, and then, you know, work on and improve to the point where he was much more explosive all year long. Yeah, you could say in a microcosm maybe that it was not playing with Russell Westbrook dominating the ball, that he was finally out of Orlando where he was being asked to do things that he wasn't comfortable doing. But I while those factors certainly take were relevant, I think that kind of physical transformation is probably the biggest factor in what we saw from him in an All-Star campaign last year. So for Whiteside, I think we don't speak enough about how those injuries limited him last year. We saw the attitude. That's very, very glaring. I think for Heat fans, long-term Heat fans in particular, that's an uncomfortable thing, because we're so used to seeing players buy in to the culture, and for Whiteside to stand out the way he does, it really is grating. And so I think that's a concern. But as far as his on-court performance, that was lackluster as well, and I think a lot of that had to do with injuries. You and I have talked a number of times about his hands, something that really stood out in his first couple of seasons before he signed that long-term deal, where he just seemed able to catch anything within the vicinity, thrown in the vicinity of him. He was able to catch lobs easily. He was able to break up passes. Like, even those kind of those block shots where he would catch them on their upwards trajectory, I don't think he had any of those last year, because I just don't think that he's strong enough anymore. I don't know what it is. I know he suffered some hand injuries, and I think it's just taken some of the kind of the strength of his game, to be honest with you. And so I'm hoping that they'll be able to fix these things and get him to become a much more productive player on court. And even if he continues to play less minutes, which I think he should still play less minutes than he did two seasons ago, I think he can be more productive in those few minutes that he's playing.
And part of that is going to be able to switch out on the perimeter, which is something that the coaching staff's been trying to get more out of him on.
Yeah.
And, according to reports, he has been working on trying to become quicker.
Right. Those fast twitch muscles, because those are the things that he was lacking, right? We saw, like, yeah. On offense, he doesn't have that kind of speed to get to the rim. On defense, he certainly can't switch on to smaller ball handlers either. So,
and he was one of the worst in the league at doing so. Yeah. And that's just a thing that centers today have to be able to do.
Right.
And I think that's the part that this. Look, I don't. Nobody pays me to talk about DBC Fitness, even though if they want to advertise on the show, they're more than welcome to.
Absolutely.
But if one of the things that they do well is they don't just put a guy on a bench and tell him to do a bench press, right? And just try to get their strength higher, which I think is Whiteside is guilty of throughout his career. He's getting his muscles bigger and bigger and bigger.
He posted something like that a couple days ago where he's flexing in a car. I mean, that to him, that's still what stands out. Is look at my guns.
He shows off his biceps, and that's nice, I guess. But it's just like if you've got it, show it. I suppose sun's out, guns out, but. It's also like, dude, you're big enough. Like, we need you to be quicker. We need you to be faster. Right. And this going to this gym shows a commitment to that. He knows that he needs to do that. Obviously, that's why he enrolled at DBC. But he kind of suffers from like that chicken leg syndrome, where his upper body is way bigger than his smaller body. And I hope that starts to
balance out.
Yeah. And then you talked about Victor Oladipo's hips and. You know, if he can start getting that lateral movement and an explosion and stuff like that, it's going to be huge. If he's just a little bit more mobile laterally,
yeah. Because I tell
side
you,
side to side,
those
going to be huge.
Those bigger biceps didn't help him avoid the double teams and not put up a whack ass, you know, 15-foot hook shot or whatever it was, you know. So hopefully he'll figure something out. Hopefully he'll be able to be a little bit more coordinated, develop a go-to move, and the kind of speed to get around somebody. I can't help but bring it up again. Like watching Jonas Valanciunas transform his game last season and thinking to myself, this guy who looks like this big Russian bear or whatever is much quicker than Hassan Whiteside. And I just couldn't believe it. Like his ability to go from the perimeter to the drive to the rim, something Whiteside is incapable of doing, really stood out to me last year.
But Whiteside has skills, right? Like he's got a decent touch on his jumper.
Oh, when
he
without
does
a doubt,
it
yeah,
right
yeah.
In rhythm. He can actually put the ball down every once in a while.
Ooh,
like he's flashed spin moves and he's flashed it. Like it's there sometimes, and you just maybe you know the quickness and the explosiveness that he might get out of DBC will help him put those skills more to use.
I hope so.
Maybe it's just the thing that puts everything together. I don't know, but either way. He's never going to be the Al Horford cerebral center, right? He's never going to be that. That's not even close to where he is as a person or a player. But what made him great at one point and worth a $98 million contract at one point was just his supreme athleticism, like you said, because of injuries and natural wear and tear, just hasn't been there in the same level.
Yeah.
You hope that maybe this kind of, like it did for Wade, sort of just revitalizes his body and gets him back to where he needs to be. But let's talk about Carmelo Anthony a little bit and quickly just sort of try to break down what it is. But I'll ask you one question first. Are you pro or con Carmelo Anthony? If he's really choosing between Houston and Miami, and if it comes for if he's there for the MLE, are you, at that point, do you just say, screw it, let's give it a shot?
I said this on Twitter. I think I am, to be honest with you. I kind of waffle on it. I was waffling on it. If you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said, no, get him off the team. I think there's a chance to transform him physically and to get him to be a dependable scorer, if nothing else. And I think, you know, it's hard for players to transform late in their career, but I think that's a possibility. I think he's still young enough to make that transformation a possibility. And I'd like to see him do it. I'd like to see him kind of change the narrative about who he is as a player in person, and I think that Miami's a good opportunity there. If reclaiming players that have never been really, really good has worked so well for Miami in Pat Riley's 20-something year history with the team, why not at the superstar level? Why can't we take a player who has struggled as a superstar over recent years and take him back to that kind of level?
And you've talked about this before, using that as a recruiting tactic.
Absolutely.
Right? If the Heat are able to put Carmelo Anthony into shape and kind of revitalize what he's got going on and make him a dependable scorer again, because he wasn't with the Thunder last year,
right.
That is huge for what, you know, as just as a talking point for Heat culture.
Right.
And so, and then just for me as a basketball fan, I kind of want to just see if it works. Like, what is the limits of Heat culture? What is the limits of Carmelo Anthony's stubbornness? And I want to see what if there is a tipping point, what that is. And and just so from as a basketball fan, if it's between Carmelo Anthony going to Miami and getting on the no pancake program and remaking his body and becoming a dependable scorer again and sort of seeing the best of Carmelo Anthony's got to offer, I'd have that over Carmelo Anthony reuniting with Mike D'Antoni, which was such a miserable disaster in New York that I just never want to see it again. And I kind of like the Rockets without Carmelo Anthony.
Yes.
I don't want him there. It seems more entertaining from a basketball perspective to have him in Miami.
I agree 100%.
All right. Whiteside's made the decision to get better. Ellington has made his decision to re-sign. And now the Heat wait on two more decisions from D-Wade and Udonis Haslem. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. Back with Locked On Heat, Summer League is wrapped up, and the Heat had a good sample size of some impressive players. The Heat have offered Exhibit 10 contracts to undrafted rookies Daryl Macon, and Yante Mayton. But David, who stood out to you the most?
I think it's Derrick Jones Jr. I mean, unfortunately, didn't get to see as much of a sample size as we would have liked. He didn't get to play much after getting hurt in his first game in Las Vegas. You know, you saw him up close in Sacramento, got a chance to talk with him. I think during those few games, and even during that first quarter where he was electric in Las Vegas, those were the kind of signs that we want to see. Everybody's spoken to him in a recent piece by Barry Jackson. Chet Kammerer, the head of scouting for the Heat, talked about him buying into culture, transforming his game, echoing what you talked to him about as far as the work he's put in over the summer and developing his shot. And I think as long as he continues to put those two together, he may not get as much playing time as we might like. I know a lot of fans saw that explosiveness and said, this is what the Heat is missing. I'm not quite there yet. I think it's still, you know, we want to see that over a larger sample size against better competition, because you know what happens in Summer League should stay in Summer League, because most of it's crap. but I like the transformation. I like him spending 1 year on the Heat and all of a sudden buying in and doing the work and everything else. Another reclamation project. So I think that's the best thing to me about what we saw from the Summer League Heat team. What about you?
Yeah, well, you talked about the Heat culture at the top of the show, right? When it comes to like Wayne Ellington and guys like that, and even Carmelo Anthony, maybe he could benefit from Heat culture. Derrick Jones Jr. is a guy who definitely benefited from that. And I love to see him. Just the development he's taken, and the Heat just internally seems so excited about his development and his ability, and you know, developing a 3-point shot, knowing that he's like he, and you know what he told us in Sacramento was he knew he needed a 3-point shot to make the NBA. It's not going to just be his athleticism, which he used to think, like he was athletic enough just to be there.
Right.
But he's like, no, I got to be able to shoot threes, and he's learned to shoot threes, and now he can do it. Defensively, he's aggressive, tries to jump passing lanes and does stuff like that.
He's put on muscle too, right? He's bulked up.
Put on a little bit, yeah. And that's going to be huge. So I'm with you. I think he's mostly an end-of-the-bench sort of guy, but a really good guy to have at the end of your bench.
Absolutely.
So he clearly has bought in. He's ready to pay his dues, and that's great. And then when the inevitable injury happens to one of Miami's guards or who their third guard is going to be on this roster – he'll get a shot to play, and he'll be really valuable in that way, just like he was last season. So you like to see guys step up from that two-way deal to a regular contract. And a guy who's going to be Miami's two-way deal, Duncan Robinson, I was really impressed with.
Yeah,
I got to see him in Sacramento. He's got a really, really smooth jumper. Pre-game, he like works on a lot of different three-point jumpers. You know that he understands that's where his bread's buttered. Like he's working on coming off of screens and little jump shots and, you know, and then, you know, hopping into his three-pointers and things like that. He practices all of it, and he rarely does, like, anything else in the pregame shoot-around other than just shoot threes. And, you know, Miami's talked about his ability to do some other things. He can put the ball on the floor and attack the basket a little bit. I'm not sure he's ready to do that at an NBA level. But I was really impressed with just, you know, he's kind of got that worker's grit kind of attitude that he's got a Heat attitude about him. He just kind of keeps his head down and works hard, and he seems like a nice kid, and I'm excited for him to be on the two-way deal because if there's an injury to Wayne Ellington or if they need some extra three-point shooting, you could see him get some play a little bit. But the other guy that was huge was Bam Adebayo. What did you think about Bam Adebayo?
You know, a mixed bag. I think, unfortunately, that we haven't seen enough during the regular season to say whether or not these kinds of skills translate. We saw that when he was a rookie, you know, that he was able to show those off in Orlando and in Vegas. I think we start to see a little bit more. That shot needs to be a little bit more consistent too. Look, they're nice flashes, and I think we love his effort. We love his athleticism and his physicality, and I think that's going to translate. I mean, obviously, we saw that during his rookie year. I think it'll still be there, but I want to see that kind of offensive versatility translate more to the regular season, because that's, you know, although it was on display last summer, you and I saw it in Orlando, it just didn't seem to work out in the regular season. So I'm hoping that we'll see that transformation.
So the other thing we need to talk about before we log off here is Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslem. And there really hasn't been a whole lot of news in that, but I kind of wanted to use that to talk about them, because just the fact that there hasn't been anything from them, there hasn't been any news, there hasn't been any quote-unquote rumblings about whether Wade will retire or not, that to me is a positive sign if you're somebody who wants Dwayne Wade back. And I would rather have Dwayne Wade back than have him retire. I just, if the Heat are going to be what they are, then I'd rather them be what they are with Dwayne Wade, just like last season. If they are what they are, I'd rather Dwayne Wade be there, because at least it's fun and at least it's Dwayne Wade.
Right.
I think the longer this goes, the better the chances, honestly, that Dwayne Wade comes back. What do you think?
Well, he's been training. He's been training at DBC. You know, after his European vacation, which he took with Gabrielle, UD and his wife and some friends, obviously, they you know, they're back at work in Miami, and that's a positive sign. He's now, I think, in China with UD, if I'm not mistaken. So, nice to see the brotherhood staying strong there and going overseas together. I think that too is also a positive, that they're still working and still, you know, hanging out together. But it could also be a last chance of connecting and you know, trying to not recapture, but say goodbye, I think. I think that's what it feels like to me. One last road trip before you go your separate ways, because you won't be teammates again next year.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't see either of them coming back, to be honest with you. I think they...
Oh, you think they'll both retire?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I mean, I know UD says he wants to play. Maybe he's laying down the groundwork, trying to figure out if a Chinese team is willing to pay him a few mil. You know, that's a potential option.
I think they're there with a leaning event, right? And they do these together all the time.
Right.
But Tyler Johnson doesn't seem to be there, and he's with leaning.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I think, I don't know.
There's a sense
Maybe
of finality
to
talk
to myself
it.
Into it.
There's a sense of finality for me to it. You know, it's just like, come on,
so
let's go do it one last time, you know, while we're still on the quote-unquote top of the world here as players. And then, you know, Dwayne Wade, the businessman, will still be able to travel to China, but UD, he might be there as a player. Who knows what'll happen?
So you're prepared if they retire?
I've been pretty consistent in that I think they're both done.
I have not been consistent, because now I said I thought they were going to be done. Now I think both of them are coming back.
Okay.
So I'll be disappointed if that's not the case. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.